ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Just look at what is happening and say, okay, this is what is happening, this is what people are doing. And we just take our decisions from there. And I'd like to just encourage us this evening, exhort us this evening, that please, we cannot, as believers, we cannot but hear God. We cannot but hear God. Praise the Lord. I have some scriptures that turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left. And as believers, we think that decisions we have to make are between, our decisions are not between good and bad. As believers, it is between good and good. As believers, you are not caught between good and bad. We all know what is bad. So it is between good and good, or like we see good and God. Those are the decisions we have to make. And a lot of the times, like I said, start to say, we settle for the good, we don't settle for the good. Because things are happening around, people are doing this, and you also want to do it. He says, your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way. Psalm 32, verse 8. Psalm 32, verse 8. This is not my message, but I just want to talk about this. KJV says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. It says, I will guide you with my eye. trained. It has to be trained. It has to be worked. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. You cannot do it's like you don't know 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3 or ABC, and then you want to begin to form, you know, fantastic words. It won't happen. So it is a muscle that we must work. It is a muscle that will develop. We start from the little things, the things that you think cannot hurt anybody if you get it wrong. Maybe you want to wake up and, you know, just you have 2 words or 3 words that you take, and just also ask the Holy Spirit, which should I go today? Things that will not hurt anybody, it starts from there. You don't want to have not done the simple things and then want to do the big things. Want to be asking God, who should I marry? Of course, you know. When you have just listened to Him yesterday saying, don't do that thing, it doesn't work that way. So please, this Psalm 32, verse 8 in NLT. The first time I saw it, I was like, wow. He says, the Lord says, I will guide you and run the best pathway for your life. When God, you know, English language, if you remember our adjectives and superlatives in primary school, for us to say best, that is, there's a good, there's a better, and then the best. But God is the only one that can guide us along the best pathway. A lot of us, as believers, settle for the good because we need ourselves. We settle for the better because we need ourselves. But He says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway. The best. It is only God that can get you the best. Hallelujah. So please, like I said, we must work on it. During the course of this teaching, we've got today, maybe next week, we're also going to talk about this because, like I said, that is the greatest asset that we have as believers. Hearing God, knowing His heart for us, knowing what He is telling us to do at the time. And no matter how bad the world becomes, you cannot shake it and say, please. No, this is what everybody is doing this, you know, permutation. If you want this way to know, we must hold that spiritual exercise, that spiritual advantage we have. We must hold it close. We must hear God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep. If you are a sheep, you must hear the voice of the great shepherd. Hallelujah. You must hear. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons. Remember what Pastor Winter taught us about being, about maturity in Christendom, in Christianity. The child is just too harmful. And when words are used, you know, the Bible doesn't just use words. It says they are the sons. They are the mature sons of God. Maturity demands that you are led. You are a son, then you must be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Like I said, that is an exhortation, but I have to take it out of the way because it has been going so deeply in my heart. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we are back to Man in the Mirror. How many of us don't like Michael Jackson's song? I got you. I know you're going to say, Michael. Yes, there's a song, Man in the Mirror. Am I right? How many of us do it? Stop lying. You know it's not. I live in like a city, you know it. Hallelujah. But let's look at what the Bible says about something that talks about the mirror. James, verse 1. see. So the word of God is like a mirror. The word of God is like a mirror. It says, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Then you say, I want to read Philippians 7. It says, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. It says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. That was why I wanted to read to begin it. Refusing to let the world corrupt you. But I go back to my man in the mirror. He says, if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. And like I said, the word of God is like a mirror. How many of us know that? It's a reflection. It shows you. It shows you what you look like. It shows you what you need to adjust. It shows you what you need to work on. It shows you what you need to step into. Praise the Lord. So in our journey, talking about growing spiritually, we need this mirror. We need this mirror. And according to Paul, I'm going to be talking about the different types of men we have in the New Testament. The different types of men we have in the New Testament. And you will see how this correlates with growing spiritually. So according to Paul's epistles, we have three types of men found in the New Testament. We have the natural man, we have the carnal man, and we have the spiritual man. I say that again. We have the natural man, we have the carnal man, and we have the spiritual man. Those are the three types of men that we have. And the three of them signify something. It signifies a state. It signifies a state. So this evening, I'm going to be talking about the natural man. I'm going to be talking about the natural man. What is a natural man? According to, I'll just give us some points. According to, you know, what, like I said, it says, who is a natural man? All of us are then out as natural men. All of us. Because nobody was born again from their mother's womb. So all of us started out as natural men. Praise the Lord. So a natural man is one who has not passed out of death into life. Because that's what the Bible says. That if you are natural, you are still living in darkness, in death. A natural man is one who has never been born again. Not been recreated. Not a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, that we all quote, it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. So, a natural man is one who has not been born again. Who has not been born again. Who is not recreated. When we got born again, what happened was that our spirit man was recreated. Was recreated. So, a natural man is one whose spirit has not been recreated. Who is not born again. Who doesn't understand what born again means. Doesn't understand what recreation means. Praise the Lord. First Corinthians 2:14. In KJV, please. First Corinthians 2:14. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man does not receive the Spirit, things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So what I'm just going to be doing is to give you the attributes of the natural man, the characteristics of the natural man. You know something? In fact, under my man in the mirror, I put together another title, what manner So we're supposed to locate ourselves in between the natural, the carnal, and the spiritual man. So today I'm going to be talking about the natural man. Don't forget the mirror. Don't forget the mind of the mirror, because what this is supposed to do is for you to know exactly where you are at. Praise the Lord. So here, taking me that scripture and be amplified. 2:14, 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says, but the natural, no, I didn't say MPO, AMPC, classified, classics, not anyone. Okay? But the natural, it says non-spiritual man. See that classification? Natural, non-spiritual man. The natural man is not spiritual. Does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God. For they are folly, meaningless nonsense to him, and is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them, because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. So, a natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit or the things of God. That's what the scripture says here. A natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit or the things of God, because they are understood with the Spirit and not with the mind. A natural man operates at the level of mind, logic. Science is mind. Science is logic. So science says this and this. In fact, you need to meet with some doctors who are not spiritual, who are not politically. When you tell them that, you say, no, that kind of science says this and this is this. If it's not that, that's it. They don't understand anything else apart from that. But you know, funny enough, in our own climb here, we are kind of spiritual. Even the person that is not born again, we have a sensing of God somewhat. You have a sensing of God. You have a sensing of something. Even if it's not of God, you have a sensing of the scripture. Good or bad, you have a sensing. But a natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit. Have you seen those people who want to argue with you? Who want to argue the Bible? They marshal their points. And you two are wise enough to be arguing with them. They don't understand. They don't have a clue. Because God relates with us through our spirit, not our minds. God relates with us through our spirits, not our minds. The Holy Spirit actually dwells in our created human spirit. That is the only way that the Holy Spirit can dwell in you. That spirit of yours has to be recreated first. So, a natural man does not understand. Like they said, it has not been given to them to understand. Because they are still natural. They have not crossed from death into life. Okay, another thing. Permit me to say that even though some of us are born again, and we'll say that, like I said, in the next week, some of us, even though born again, still operate as that natural hateful. You know, like we just, and that is what it means to be carnal. We'll talk about that next week. But even though we are born again, we do that our born again is in somewhere. And begin to operate like natural men. Praise the Lord. So, the natural man, his wisdom is earthly. His wisdom is natural. James 3:14-15. think I want to drink. It should be better. He says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. So any wisdom that the natural man has is earthly, is sensual, and is demonic. Is sensual and is demonic. Any wisdom at all that the natural, and that's why you see all those wisdom, those things that they advise us about. For instance, maybe a man wants to marry, and then the father of the man calls the son and says, when you marry, don't let your wife know how much you earn. So that man, it is wisdom. He's giving his son wisdom, advice. But we all know that those kind of advice is too flat. They go ahead and cause problem in the future. So, the wisdom of a natural man is sensual. Sensual is demonic. And it is earthly. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 2 verse 1. I had said before that all of us were here before. Although some of us, even though we have moved ahead, we are still, you know, like you are putting one leg at the end, you are still putting one leg at the back. Ephesians 2 verse 1. And this one, the point here is that the natural man is motivated by demons, he is ruled by Satan. Somebody says, yes, now, if you don't belong to God, you belong to, there's no in between. There's no, whether you're a child of the devil or a child of God. You cannot be half a child of the devil, half a child of God. So the natural man is motivated by demons. He's ruled by Satan. If you remember all of those are our scriptures, I think it's Galatians 2 that talks about us being delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. But let's read Ephesians 2. It says, are you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the praise of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we always conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh. Do we see that? Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So all of us were here before. All of us were here before. So the natural man is motivated by demons. He is ruled by Satan. Satan is the god of the world. So if you do not belong to God, then you belong to Satan, because he's the one that is ruling in this world. Praise the Lord. I remember when Jesus was talking about Satan, I think that's John 8, when he was talking about when he speaks, when, let's see, 8:41, where he talks about Satan being the father of 44. John 8:44. Satan being the father of lies, that when he speaks of his own, his native language. I think one translation says his native language is lies. Yeah. He was talking to the, you know, to the Jews and was saying, you are the father, your father the devil. So if you don't belong to God, you obviously belong to, you know, to the devil. And as Jesus said here, he is the father of those who are not born again. He's the father of the natural man. The natural man is that man that is motivated by the flesh. And this one is so key. And this one, like I said, some of us, even though we are born again, we're still motivated by the flesh. It's Romans 8. Romans 8. Verse 7. And please, I would like this in the Amplified Classic. Romans 8 and verse 7. It says, that is because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God, for it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. It doesn't have the capacity to. So then those who are living the life of the flesh, and what is the life of the flesh? It says, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to Him. Cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to Him. The natural man is moved by the flesh. So, like we say, the average man is naturally selfish. The natural man is selfish. So you are thinking of what pays me. If other people like get them roast, as long as it pays me, then it is okay. You know? So the natural mind is moved, is motivated by the flesh. Me, myself, and I. What looks good on me? What will pay me? What will I get from this? And as believers, we cannot, we should not operate in that realm. We should not operate in that. What would I get? How is this going to benefit me? If it doesn't benefit you, you're out. Hallelujah. So it says, this one, let me, please give to us an NKJV so that we can read it easily. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But talking to the Romans, it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. It says, we are not in the flesh. The natural man cannot please God. The natural man cannot please God. It's so simple. Because like I said, the natural mind is always looking at what is going to pay me. What's going to pay me? I like this. You know, the natural mind does not have, thank God for the upbringing. I want this. I get it. I like this. I buy it. That's the natural mind. Panders to the flesh. As long as my flesh wants it, I give it to it. I want to eat, you know, eat. It's from the flesh that you have all sorts of things, gluttony, greed, you know, all of those things. That's why Paul talks about them as fruit. Let me see. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians 5. Let's see the works of the flesh. Yes, that's how it's spelled. Galatians 5. From verse 19. It says that now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, like in another man's wife. That's the work of the flesh. Because the Bible says that you should consider another person before yourself. If you like that person, love your neighbor as yourself. If I love my neighbor as myself, I will know that I will not want another woman to sleep with my husband. So I'm not going to sleep with another woman's husband. It says the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders. That's true. It's a work of the flesh. And the natural man is not. That is the natural habitat, motivated by the flesh. What does drunkenness, revelries, and the lack of which I tell you before, man? Just as I told you in time past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the natural man cannot please God. Because the natural man is under the influence of the flesh. It's motivated by the flesh. What do I like? I like another man's, like I said, I like another woman's husband. I go for it. I like another man, likes another. It's so funny. You know, when back in the day when I was still working, a friend of mine was pregnant, and a man, physically pregnant, not showing physically. And the man said, I know, like, proposing the woman, and the woman said, what is it? This is the best man. This one, if you do anything, nobody will know. But this one is okay, because, you know, you can't. Yes. Motivated by the flesh. Motivated by the flesh. So what's the natural man? You're laughing. Yeah. See, this one, nobody will catch us if you say you are doing anything, because it's already happening, so nobody can say, you know. Motivated by the flesh. Hallelujah. That's the natural man. Some people say, I cannot. No. If you have the Spirit of God in you, there's nothing like you cannot. You don't want to. That's it. You have control over your body as a believer, but you do not want to exercise that control. So a natural man, like I said, is motivated by the flesh. The natural man, again, does not receive the Spirit of God. The natural man is ruled by the five senses. What are the five senses? What are the five senses? The five senses: sight, hearing, taste, smell, and touch. Those are the five senses. How many of us remember this from the Chose book, First Dimension? How many of us remember that book? How many of us have read that book? First Dimension. How many of us know it? The old, not old, but how many of us know Yom Kippur? Amen. How do you know? What do you know in verse? The pastor of the largest church in the world. Yes. Pastor of the largest church. He wrote a book way back then. It was talking about the fourth dimension. And what that fourth dimension, you know, was just talking about was that as believers, we operate on another plane that is different from the sense realm. And the sense realm is the realm of these five senses. But that is the realm that the natural man operates. A natural man does not operate above his five senses. His mind is governed by his senses. That's all he possesses. That's all he possesses. So he can't see it, he can't touch it, he can't smell it, he can't taste it. What's the other one now? He can't feel it. Yes, touch, he can't feel it. Then you cannot, there's no how you can, you know, you can relate. There's no how you can relate. So, the natural man can only operate on the sense realm. Can only operate on the sense realm. Cannot operate above that. But as believers, we have a knowledge that is above the flesh. And that knowledge is called revelation knowledge. How many of us know revelation knowledge? How many of us know about revelation knowledge? I want to see that too. How many of us know revelation knowledge? Hallelujah. We have revelation knowledge. And this knowledge is revealed to us in the world. Some of us call it Rema. You say, you see, you
you feel what? Like we are reading the scripture now. There's something the scripture is saying, but in your own situation, as I read it, that scripture just jumps at you. And you see something there that relates to you personally. Praise the Lord. So, we have what is called a revelation knowledge. And please don't take this knowledge lightly. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. It is not a knowledge that is in your senses. It's not physical. It is in your spirit. And you can, you know, we can lay hold on it because we have the Spirit of God inside of us. So we have a revelation knowledge. And as believers, we cannot afford to operate. And that was what I was talking about when I started. We cannot afford to operate just on this level, on this plane. On the sense plane. On the sense plane. On logic. Say, ah. You see, I mean, lots of us have fallen. And we keep falling. We keep falling. We keep falling. Because we will not hear the voice of the shepherd. We keep falling. Somebody comes and says, because I this is the first thing they are doing now. If you put this sticky coin to it, every month they will be giving you, and you greet, we will go and spread your rest. We will go allow you. We will allow you rest. You say, is it true? What is that you must have such a bumble? You say, ah, when they give me, I will pay back. Even if the investment looks good, even the one that looks good, forget those ones or those that God is speaking to. Even the one that looks good, the Holy Spirit can actually say you don't want them. I say, this thing will bust. This thing will bust. So when your friends are saying, I come and do, you just like that. This thing will go bust. You just say, I don't have money. But some of us, like I said, those of us that are operating on that plane, you will put your money. And then when it goes bust, you say, something was telling me. Something was telling me. Something was telling me. The Holy Spirit was not in your hands. Praise the Lord. So as believers, it can't all be about our minds. We cannot operate, we cannot afford to operate on this sense plane. We can't afford to operate on the sense. And that is one of the things, again, that will set us apart. Because when things are happening, and you are delivered once, you are delivered twice, that you had the third time, people begin to ask you, what's happening? Is it that somebody told you before that this is going to happen? And then you can actually witness and say, the Holy Spirit, what is the Holy Spirit? They will ask you what the Holy Spirit is, and then you can explain. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So as believers, it cannot all be about our minds. We must always ask what the mind of God is about certain matters. We shouldn't be governed by our physical senses only. We shouldn't be governed by our physical senses only. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight, but a lot of us walk by sight. We walk, we judge by the sight, by the things that we see. Even though we are told that the things that we see are passing away, the things that we do not see are the permanent things. So we walk by faith and not by things to Lord. So as I've been talking about this, as I've been talking about the characteristics of natural mind, I hope that you have been looking at things and saying, okay, I am tilting towards, even though we're not supposed to be natural men, but some of us are tilting, the kind of things we do actually are tilting towards what a natural man would do. Praise the Lord. So I was saying that the natural man does not understand, cannot understand the scriptures, cannot receive the Spirit of God because he doesn't have what it takes. And the natural man also does not understand the scriptures because the scriptures is of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The scriptures is of the Spirit of God. Let's look at 2 Peter 1 and 21. 2 Peter. It was talking about prophecy, talking about the word, because it said from verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed. We should do well to heed as a light that shines in the darkness. And in the darkness, he was talking about the Bible. But verse 21 says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So the Bible is of the Spirit of God, and you can only understand the scriptures when you have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You can only understand the scriptures when you have the Spirit of God. And the natural man does not have the Spirit of God. So does not understand, cannot understand the scriptures. Hallelujah. The natural man cannot understand the scriptures because it's in the realm he does not know anything about. I remember Pastor saying here over and over, God does not make sense. How many of us we collect? We will say, God doesn't make sense. God doesn't make sense. Because God operates outside of our physical senses. How many of us remember that? Pastor says this all the time. God does not make sense. God, because God operates outside of our senses. We cannot reason God out with our senses. Hallelujah. We can't reason God out with your senses. You can't say, one in God's realm, it's not 1 plus 1 equals 2. It's 1 plus 1 equals 1. How many of us know 1 plus 1 equals 1? You don't know 1 plus 1 equals 1. What is 1 plus 1 equals 1? Marriage. Fantastic. God bless you. 1 plus 1 equals 1 is marriage. But what's likely 1 plus 1 equals what? Equals 2. So, we cannot reason God out with our senses. Hallelujah. We cannot reason God out. God is not our senses. You can't reason him out with your senses. He operates way, way, way above your senses. Isaiah 55. Let's look at what God says there. Verse 8. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Imagine, as the heavens are higher, how high are the heavens to the earth? Who can say? Who can say? Because so as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. natural mind goes. Natural mind tries to reason God out with his senses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2. Rounding up Ephesians 2. Even as we have said, this is a way also that the natural mind walks. Ephesians 2. We read verse 1 to 3. Ephesians 2. Verse 1 to 3 again. It says, and you he made alive, you were dead in trespasses and sins. It says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. So, a natural mind walks according to the course and fashion of the world. Because it says in verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So, it is normal for a natural mind to say, you don't need to, you know, I was listening to, I don't know who I was listening to now, and the man was saying something about how, you know, I talk about a man now that was propositioning a pregnant woman. So a natural mind, and yeah, I like her, like proposition now, that's not such a big deal. Or you like me saying that. When somebody yesterday, somebody was talking about how some people were going to some place for some. If you are in the world, in quotes, that's not news. Is it news? They're looking at me. You don't know what I mean. You don't know what I mean by some place. Hey, dude, now, why are you? Response. It's a spiritual response. You're not, they didn't go and think about it. No, they gave you answer. Ready. Justifying evil. A natural man does not need to what is the natural, like I said, is the habitat, like the mud is the habitat of a pig. So a natural man would normally just say, because that is the way that he has been created to be. And like I said, we were like that before we accepted Jesus into our lives. So a natural man works according to the course and fashion of the world. Works according to the course and fashion of the world. You don't need to grudge him. That's not our thing. Works according to the course and fashion of the world. 1 Peter, may that be my last Jesus. Sorry, Ephesians 4. Let me go back to Ephesians 4 again. Ephesians 4, 17 to 18. And, you know, yeah, Paul was talking to the Ephesians. He had said some things ahead. And then here, at this point, he was talking about the new man. And he said, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So the way a natural man works is in the futility of their minds. That's what Paul is saying here. Let's see what else he says. Because that futility, some of us, you know, say what is. He says, with a lot of authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives, because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. So, the natural man walks in the futility of their mind. Their heart, their understanding is darkened. They are blinded in their hearts. Says their minds are full of darkness. So if their minds are full of darkness, what will it mean for? They will mean for darkness. They will mean for darkness. They are filled with their own knowledge. They are ignorant of spiritual things. Says we should no longer live. We should live not like the Gentiles too. Hallelujah. Lastly, 1 Peter 2. Of course, I know the scripture in Lord, verse 9 and 10. Generation, talking to us that are believers, says a royal priesthood, a holy nation, is a special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. See verse 10. It says, who once were not a people, when we were unbelievers, when we were Gentiles, we were not a people. nation, his own special people, that you will proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, this is the first type of man in the New Testament, the natural man. Like I said, we all were natural babies. Because nobody was born again from their mother's womb. But thanks be to God who has called us out of darkness into the light of his mother, into the marvelous light of his son. Hallelujah. So if we have any natural mind in our midst today, there is a way out. That's the reason why Jesus came. So that the natural man can become the chosen generation. Praise the Lord. Do we have anyone here this evening who wants to give their life to God, who wants to give their life to Jesus? Or who wants to receive, don't give our life like this, that we receive the life of God? All our eyes closed. How would we close our eyes?
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,